Good morning. How's everybody doing? Great. Don't be offended by this if you're wearing hush puppies, but my grandfather always wore hush puppies. I don't know if they were his favorite shoe because they were comfortable or how they looked or simply that my grandmother loved them and so that's all she bought him. But he wore hush puppies all the time. And I remember as a high schooler in the 90s thinking, and don't be offended, I thought they were ugly and dorky looking. And I remember looking at them, just shaking my head, thinking, come on, Pop-Pop, you can do better than that. But he always had them on. And if you think my opinion is a minority, and you think they're popular, they only sold 30,000 pairs of hush puppies in 1995. So they weren't really popular. In fact, Nike, that December, released the Air Jordan 11s. They released them for Christmas. 1,073,849 pairs of Air Jordan 11s in the month of December in 1995 alone. By all accounts, hush puppies were on their way out. And the parent company, Wolverine, was ready to close its doors. But then something happened. Let's call it a tipping point. A tipping point is the moment of critical mass, the threshold, and the boiling point. Two executives for Hush Puppies were in New York, and they ran into a stylist. And the stylist pulled them aside and said, I want you to know, hush puppies cannot stay in the stores in New York and Manhattan. They are the most popular shoe in the clubs and in the restaurants and in the nightlife. Everybody is wearing them at night in Manhattan, and they are extremely popular. And the two executives stood there in amazement because they had no marketing. They had no initiatives. They had no focus on hush puppies in New York and in Manhattan. So they just thought it was a circumstance beyond their control, and they thought they were heading back to their headquarters to close out the brand. And they returned, and then they got a phone call from a stylist, from a fashion designer in New York who wanted to feature them in a show. And they said, sure. And then they got another call from another fashion designer asking to feature the hush puppies in another show. And then they got a call from Hollywood for a designer in Hollywood who wanted to open up a store. And they said, sure. Within 2 years, they sold 1.7 million pairs of hush puppies. A tipping point. The boiling point. The threshold. The moment of critical mass. Friends, this is not a story about hush puppies. This is an example of a tipping point. Because our story continues into the life of Peter, and we reach his tipping point. I like to describe tipping points as the peak of the roller coaster, that first ride up, and you have to go up, and it takes a while to get there, and it's laborsome, and it's trying, and you get to that point at the apex of the roller coaster ride, and what awaits you on the other side? Twists and turns and corkscrews and upside down, around and round, and it is thrilling, and it is exciting, but it doesn't happen unless the tipping point is reached. And so, for the life of Peter, we reach his tipping point, just like hush puppies in the late 90s. And if you're wondering, you can still buy hush puppies today. This is what their website looks like. And we can read about Peter, and we can read about his tipping point. We can read about the moments in which the Spirit takes over. Because friends, up until this point, Peter has been walking and following Jesus. He's been learning from him. He's been observing him. And Jesus has been teaching and performing miracles, and he's been speaking of the Spirit and what is to come. And all they are talking about is the Spirit and God, and Jesus is teaching them, and they're wondering, what is this? And this tipping point happens, and this very thing that Jesus is teaching about no longer is limited to one man in the name of Jesus, but it is available to all men and all women. And the Spirit moves. The unstoppable Spirit continues to move and go. It's the tipping point. It takes place in Acts chapter 2. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me there. Because Peter and the other followers have gathered in Jerusalem, and they've gathered for what to celebrate is what they call Pentecost. And N.T. Wright says this about Pentecost. He says, Pentecost is the end of the great cycle of events that began with Advent. But it is, of course, the beginning of the new world. It is the tipping point. The world of God's kingdom, of his combined heaven and earth reality, the world in which, by praise and prayer and prophecy, we are now called to live without embarrassment and to love without measure. Pentecost ushers in this new moment of life filled by the Spirit to live without embarrassment and to love without measure. Friends, as we continue our study of Peter and examine his tipping point, we will learn that through the unstoppable Spirit, Peter learns to live without embarrassment and to love without measure. And friends, I'm saying that over and over again because I want you to hear it. I want you to understand it, because that is why we are here. The Spirit moves so that we too can live without embarrassment and love without measure, because that same Spirit who is alive in Peter and moving amongst Peter and the followers of Jesus at Pentecost here in Acts 2 is alive and well and moving amongst us. So let's look at Acts 2 and discover how we got there. If you have your Bibles, turn to Acts 2. We're looking all the way from verse 1 to 41, but we're not going to read the whole passage today. I'm just going to highlight a couple of verses. So walk with me through this outline, and you will discover that the unstoppable Spirit is humanly uncaused. Acts 2:2, humanly uncaused. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. The unstoppable Spirit moves on his own. He acts on his own. And there's nothing that you and I can do to make that happen. It is humanly uncaused. And notice that in Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it appears like a sound. They didn't feel this Spirit. The Spirit moved as a sound. They heard the Spirit, the very thing they were awaiting for, the very thing they were hoping for, appeared to them, not on their timing or their initiative, but on God's, and it was humanly uncaused. And throughout the New Testament, we see a picture of a community, a picture of the church. Well, people not only hear through God, through Scripture and prayer and the sacraments, but we also hear a people moving and hearing from God as a result of prophecy, words of wisdom and knowledge. Throughout the New Testament, we see God moving, and God moves in the same way today. At points throughout the New Testament, we hear people who are worshiping and fasting. And quote, the Holy Spirit said to them to do something, and so they did it. There are other times where there is a dispute going on, and a resolution is needed. And it seemed good to the Holy Spirit to come to a particular conclusion. The Holy Spirit moves in uncaused ways. And sometimes they were on a mission heading one direction, and the Holy Spirit said, go this way. And so they followed the direction of the Holy Spirit. No longer were they making decisions by casting lots or dice, but they were listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And that voice of the Holy Spirit is uncaused. And regular people were prophesying. People had visions. All of it humanly uncaused. And not only do we see the unstoppable Spirit as being humanly uncaused, but point number two is that it is humanly inexplicable. Jump with me to Acts chapter 2, verse 12. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" If you read the rest of those verses, you will see words like bewildered, amazed, perplexed, astonished. The unstoppable Spirit is humanly inexplicable. Bewildered can be translated as confounded. It is a verb that means to be confused or perplexed. To be astonished means to wonder and marvel and be awestruck. The word amaze means to stand out from or to stand outside of oneself. And each of these words, these concepts, these ideas of being bewildered and amazed and astonished, there are all our human response to divine circumstances. They are our human response when confronted by divine revelations. We can't help ourselves when God moves in ways that are inexplicable to simply be amazed and simply be astonished. We stand in awe when God moves. It's also good to point out that these verbs used are in the imperfect tense, and it means that they were repeatedly amazed. They were repeatedly astonished, and it compounded upon each other because they continually grew in their amazement and their astonishment. The unstoppable Spirit is humanly inexplicable. There are times in our lives that don't happen just by chance. There are times in our lives where God moves in divine ways and our response is simply amazement and wonder. Just this past week, I was talking to a friend on Tuesday morning. I had heard the news that his 16-year-old daughter was in a car wreck. She was on the way to the family ranch outside of Dallas-Fort Worth area, ready to meet the family for the Sunday evening barbecue, and she got in a single car accident. She overcorrected one way, overcorrected again, and ended up hitting a tree on the driver's side. As I talked to Mike, he was speechless. He showed up as the first responders were showing up, and one after another, the first responders told he and his wife, Ruth, that something miraculous just happened. That little 16-year-old girls don't walk away from accidents like this. Friends, she walked out of the car. She kicked down the passenger side door and made her way out and walked away from an accident where every first responder simply said, "They don't walk away, we put them in bags and we carry them out." They said it was a miracle, and I could just sense it. As he told me the story, his mouth dropped, he was in amazement. He said, "Mark, it's a miracle." And I said, "I'm okay with miracles happening to our little girls anytime, any place." And his response has been one of awe and amazement. Because there are times, friends, when the Spirit moves and it is humanly inexplicable and we can't define it, and so we stand there awestruck. In addition to the unstoppable Spirit being humanly uncaused and humanly inexplicable, it is also humanly undeniable. Verse 22. "Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourself know. Without a shadow of a doubt, I wasn't there, so I don't know, but I wonder, it's a safe bet that there were people gathered listening to Peter who either saw firsthand the miracles, signs, and wonders that Jesus performed, or they heard it via secondhand, or they heard it third or fourth hand. They knew there were people there, and what does Peter do? He draws back to the life of Jesus, his pre-crucifixion ministry, and says, remember these signs, wonders, and miracles done before you. Friends, it is humanly undeniable that God is who he says he is, and that Jesus and God the Holy Spirit are one. It was humanly undeniable. There are two times in the book of Acts where Peter is giving a speech in which he draws on the pre-crucifixion ministry of Jesus. Here in Acts 2 and again in Acts 10. And this is not by accident. The word miracles identifies the supernatural elements of Jesus' works. The wonders describes the effect of the miracles on the witnesses, and the signs indicate the purpose of the miracles. Friends, it is humanly undeniable. Not only is it humanly undeniable, humanly inexplicable, humanly uncaused, but finally, it is irresistible. Humanly irresistible. Because at this moment in time, when his speech is done and the Spirit arrives and God is moving, the response is belief and baptism. They witnessed and they responded to the good news, and 3,000 were added to their number. They weren't added because they were baptized. Baptism is a response to their belief, and it is an action taken, and it is something that we do as Christ followers, and that is why we celebrate baptism here at Sunrise Community Church, because it is a response of our belief. It is a sign of being cleansed by the blood of Christ. And it is humanly irresistible when the Spirit moves. 3,000 were added to their number daily. And the church grew. And the church continued to grow because the Spirit continues to move amongst you and I. And it moves so that we may be people of what? We may be a people who live without embarrassment and love without measure. Friends, in a couple of weeks, we're going to have an opportunity to live without embarrassment and love without measure. As a church, we have picked November 10th to partner with the Orangevale Food Bank. And we're going to stand outside of the Safeway at Hazel and Madison. And we're going to collect food, and we're going to stand by the at the door. We're going to hand out a little piece of paper that says what the food bank needs, and then on their way out, people will make that donation. But we're going to stand with a ministry partner of ours in providing food for our community. I toured Orangevale Food Bank this week with JP. Our high school group is going to be there late November, helping them out during Thanksgiving time. And they make an impact in our immediate neighborhood of providing food and resources for people who don't have them. And so we need to collect, we need to fill four shifts. We need 32 people to sign up for Sunday, November 10th, so that we can stand at that Safeway from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. And next week, we're going to have those sign-ups available for you. All right? So be thinking that if you're married or you have a family and you want to grab your child, if you want to, as a life group, grab a couple of people of your life group or your Bible study, if you want to just grab some of your friends and fill one of those sessions, that'd be great. 2 hours, four people at one door, four people at the next, an opportunity to interact with our community and say thanks, an opportunity to love without embarrassment and to live without embarrassment and to love without measure. So look for the signups next week out in the foyer. You'll see my friends. We'll be taking signups next week for Sunday, November 10th. Let me bring you back to this N.T. Wright quote. Pentecost is the end of the great cycle of events that began with Advent, but it is also the beginning of the new world. It is the tipping point. It is the launch. It is the apex of what follows. The church, God's kingdom, combining the heaven and earth reality to which by prayer, by praise, prayer, and prophecy, we are called to live without embarrassment and love without measure. Friends, the unstoppable spirit is humanly uncaused, humanly inexplicable, humanly undeniable, and humanly irresistible.